Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Friday, June 30th, 2023. Okay, it's 12:43 in the afternoon Eastern Time. The markets are up and looks like they're going to be finishing the first half of the year very strong. So what we have right now, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.73%, S&P 500 up 1.15%, and the NASDAQ Composite up 1.48%. Yeah, if the markets hold where they are for the first half of the year, today's June 30th, that would be the end of the second quarter, into the first half. Let's see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that will only be up 3.6%, but that's only 30 stocks. It can get dragged down by one or two. But the more broad S&P 500 is up 15.5% for the year, and the NASDAQ Composite is up 31% so far year to date. So yeah, first half of the year has been looking good. One reason the markets are up today, again, more reports are coming out showing that inflation is coming down. What we had come out today was the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. Now this is an inflation report that the Federal Reserve closely looks at. And the numbers showed that inflation is still coming down, and the number came in a little bit under even what was expected. Basically, it looks like it came in at an annualized rate of 4.6%. That's like half of what inflation was a year or so ago, a little bit under the 4.7% what was expected. So good news there. So we have some news with various stocks. We'll take a look at those. Apple's over $3 trillion again. Netflix is now finally ceasing their DVD by mail service. And we got some other things going on. And then today I'm also going to talk about municipal bonds. Okay. So what do we have going on today? Okay. So as first of all, with the markets, yeah, we got well, Apple's up about 1%, but the thing there is its market capitalization number is now back over $3 trillion. They were the first company to actually hit $1 trillion, and they're now back over $3 trillion, which I believe is the highest level it's been at since, I think, last year. But anyway, what market capitalization is, this is the total stock market value of a company. You take the number of shares of the company outstanding, you multiply by the current share price, you get what's called market capitalization, sometimes called market cap. So we have that news also. I actually have to admit, I didn't even know Netflix was still mailing out DVDs, but apparently they are, at least for now. What they're saying here, this is a quote from the company, on September 29th, 2023, we will send out the last red envelope. It has been a true pleasure and honor to deliver movie nights to our wonderful members for 25 years. So anyway, so they are ceasing that. So everything at this point would be streaming digital. Okay, so we have that news also. Okay, a few other things here. Came out yesterday a report that the first quarter economic growth, the first 3 months of the year, actually was up 2% versus 1.3%. That's an annualized number. And the thing about that, I wanted to mention, I've said it before, when we get these economic reports that come out, they usually have the word preliminary in front of it because they're open to a lot of revision, sometimes drastic revision. I mean, this is pretty big, 1.3% revised up to 2%. Yet, various government agencies that release these reports, Bureau of Economic Analysis, Bureau of Labor Statistics, Congressional Budget Office, and others, they actually don't sign off on the final numbers for 5 years. So right now, they're just signing off on the final numbers for June 2018. So it's always something to take into account. These numbers are just first best estimates, but they are up for revision. I saw that a Pfizer employee, Stuxnet PFE, has been charged with insider trading. And basically what that is, it says here, the Justice Department charged a former Pfizer employee and his friend with illegally trading shares based on non-public trial results on the COVID antiviral pill, Paxlovid, or however you say it, Paxlovid or something. But anyway, that's pretty significant insider trading. So here's what that is. That is buying or selling a stock based on material information that has not been released to the public. Now, the key there, it has to be considered material, and it usually comes from somebody high up inside the company. What would not be considered insider trading? Like, say you just go to Best Buy, right? And you're talking to one of the salespeople, and they tell you, oh yeah, we're seeing slow sales on Panasonic TVs or something. Well, and you trade on that. That's not actually insider trading. What insider trading is a top officer or somebody inside the company gives you material information that the public has not yet been made aware of. So anyway, this is pretty significant. What happens with insider trading? Usually the fine is three times your profit. You have to surrender any profits. Three times your profit is the fine. And each insider trading charge can carry up to 20 years in prison. I remember years ago, we had this guy, he was an executive at a computer software company. I forgot which one it was. And he had information that their new software release was going to be delayed. There was all kinds of problems with it. He traded based on that information, and he did it openly. It was a case, I think he just didn't know that he couldn't do it. Anyway, he got in trouble fairly quickly. I do remember what happened. He made about a $300,000 profit. He was fined close to $1 million. His company promptly fired him. And he did end up serving about 2 years in prison. So yeah, it's pretty significant, but that's what insider trading is. Okay. By the way, you might've heard about Martha Stewart years ago doing that. She's a former Wall Street stockbroker. I don't know if you guys do that. So she knew the rules, but anyway. All right, so we got that. Got some news here. The Bed Bath & Beyond stores, a lot of their stores, you know, they're going out of business, are in really good locations. And it looks like there were bidders on 109 of its stores. And Burlington Coat Factory, or Burlington, whatever they call themselves, they got the vast majority of them. But Michaels, you know, Michaels is that craft store. They got some. They said Haverty got some. Macy's got a few. Barnes & Noble. So we got all of those. I mentioned the other day that Bed Bath & Beyond, its logo was actually purchased not too long ago. So yeah, the company is, Overstock.com bought them. So I haven't heard any plans, but conceivably Overstock could open retail stores with the Best Buy name and logo. So nothing would prevent them from doing that. So we had that news also. All right, what else we got here? A couple of other things. We also had, I saw a story that companies are starting to really crack down on this return to office. Basically, after COVID, you know, you had workers working at home, and there were some companies that just demanded flat out that the workers all come back in 5 days a week, and only half of them showed up, and the companies were not in positions to really let them go. So then you've had situations where companies are like, okay, come in 3 days a week, work from home too. But employees apparently at some companies have been somewhat lackadaisical about that. Some of them haven't been in the office in weeks or months. Well, the companies really were in a position, it was hard for them to do anything. It was a tight labor market. We can't afford to lose you. It's hard to replace you. Well, now the labor market's starting to tighten up some. So these companies are now taking the position, look, you come in when we tell you to, or we may let you go. So seeing some more of that going on also. Okay, so let's see what else we got here. Okay, so we'll talk about now municipal bonds. All right, bonds are loans to either governments or corporations. I've talked about this before. You make a loan to the United States government for $1,000. You get a rate of interest that you'll be given each year, and then at the end of the time period, you get your $1,000 back. So if it was a 10-year loan to the U.S. government at 3% a year interest, you would get $30 a year for each of the next 10 years, $300 to get $1,000 back. But But we do have other governments here in the United States. And some of you are saying, I knew it, the Illuminati, New World Order. Well, maybe, but it's actually city and state governments, municipalities. So you can also make loans to municipalities, either state governments, state of Florida, state of Nebraska, whatever, cities, Philadelphia, Orlando, where I live, whatever. You can also make loans to counties and any kind of municipal government. All right. So these are called municipal bonds. Now, most municipal bonds have a minimum of $5,000. $5,000, usually then in increments of $1,000 after that, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. Some of them are set up, though, in increments of $5,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. All right. Here's the thing. The interest on municipal bonds is generally exempt from federal income taxes. So you do not pay federal income taxes on the interest earned on municipal bonds. However, the interest rate is lower on municipal bonds than the taxable federal bonds. It depends on somebody's tax rate. I'll give you some specifics here in a second. Now, as far as that tax-exempt status, yeah, that has been ruled on several times in the history of the United States by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has stated that due to the separation of federal and state powers clause of the U.S. Constitution, they cannot tax each other's debts. So interest on municipal bonds is generally free from federal income taxes. And if you live in a state with state income taxes, the interest on the federal treasury bonds is generally exempt from state income taxes. Now, one thing to know about municipal bonds, though, if you own a municipal bond from another state from where you live, you're in a state with state income taxes, that interest might be subject to that your state's state income tax. An example, let's say you buy municipal bonds usually by the state of California. Well, it's tax-free from federal income taxes, but you live in New York. Well, it may be subject to New York income taxes. Now, that's something you'd have to check, New York state income taxes. Now, that's something you'd have to check on. Varies by state. A lot of times, though, if you own a municipal bond from the state you live in, it is also exempt from your state income taxes. So if you live in California, you own California municipal bonds, it may be exempt from California state income taxes. Same with New York, if you own New York bonds and live there. So anyway, something to check on. Another thing about municipal bonds, sometimes, what are they issued for? Well, city and state governments generally issue municipal bonds for projects that generally benefit the public. They're for roads, public schools, you know, a lot of things like that. Now, one controversial area of municipal bonds use, and I'll talk about the more specifics of it another day, are to build sports stadiums, like an NFL football stadium or a basketball arena for an NBA basketball team or whatever. Okay, so that's a little more controversial there. I'll talk a little more another day about how that works. Okay, so moving on. We'll talk about the interest rates here. All right, so municipal bonds can be issued by, again, state governments, cities, counties, sometimes even agencies set up to, you know, build public projects that benefit the public, you know, whatever it might be, roads, schools, whatever. Okay. But generally, municipal bonds fall into two categories. We have what are called general obligation bonds, GO. They are considered the safer of the two. They are backed by the taxing power of the issuing agency. So if they were issued by the state of Florida, they're backed by the taxing power of the state of Florida. We then also have revenue bonds. Now, these are bonds that the money is paid back by specific revenue from whatever project the borrowed money built, an example, a toll road. So we have those. Those are considered a little bit more risky, although municipal bonds are generally considered low-risk investments. But the revenue bonds often pay a little bit more. Now, one thing about municipal bonds, a lot of them are callable, so you got to be careful. What does that mean? You may lock in a high interest rate, you think, for the next 20 years, and then 4 years from now, that issuing agency just calls the bonds back in and just pays you back all your money early. They do that when interest rates have declined and they can refinance their debt at a lower rate. Well, the problem you run into now as an investor is you have to now reinvest your money at a lower rate. So, and we have that issue also. On the next session, I will talk about corporate bonds, and I want to talk about bond ratings, because not all municipal bonds are the same. Depends on the municipality. Some are safer than others. And I'll talk a little bit about how that applies to corporate bonds also. But yeah, the last thing today I'll talk about is the interest rates. I just checked. 10-year Treasury bonds are paying 3.8% right now, around 3.8%. And municipal bonds are paying 2.5%. Now, that, again, depends on the municipality. I was looking at what are called AAA-rated municipal bonds. Okay, so it really depends on your tax bracket. Now, if you have an individual who is in a very high tax bracket, let's say a combination of federal and state taxes wherever they live, because they're buying municipal bonds from another state, say that's 40%. Okay, so the way you do this, you can earn 3.8% on the Treasury bonds. So 3.8, but you get to keep 60 cents on a dollar, 40 cents is taxed away. All right, so in this case, doesn't matter what state you're in, you're gonna be paying the tax. All right, so, although you wouldn't pay the state income tax on the Treasury, so it really depends on where you are, but anyway, but let's say you're in a 40% tax bracket. Most people, the highest tax bracket right now is around 38%, but you know, could be 40 if tax rates change. All right, so if you're getting 3.8%, you're keeping 60 cents on a dollar. After tax, you're paying 2.28%. In this case, you're better off going straight with the municipals at 2.5% because it would pay better on a tax-free basis. However, if you're in a 25% tax bracket, 3.8, you keep 75% of that. Now you're getting 2.85% on the taxable treasuries, which is higher than the municipals. So it really depends on your tax bracket. If you're in a high tax bracket, it's better to go straight free, tax-free with the municipals. The other advantage of going straight tax-free with the municipals, the taxable bonds, basically the tax rates can change also over time what you pay. But anyway, if you're in a low tax bracket, like you're retired, then you're probably best just going with the federal taxable bonds and pay the tax. Also, if you're in a retirement account where the taxes are all deferred, a lot of times you're better just going with the taxable bonds. But I'll talk about that more in the next couple of sessions. I also want to talk about ladders. It's a fairly simple concept with bonds, how do investing in ladders work. What that means is you split your money among multiple maturities. But we'll talk about that in the next couple of sessions. Okay, so hope everyone's doing well. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bell. Talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.